Imagine yourself in the little Hungarian town of Riding on a night in 1811. A comet had been seen in the sky for weeks, and the superstitious peasants were sure that it foreshadowed great things for Adam List's wife, Anna, who was soon to give birth. Then, on October 22nd, as the comet glowed its brightest, came the announcement that Anna and Adam List were the parents of a boy, and he was to be called Franz. A gypsy fortune teller later told the proud parents very solemnly, "Franz will leave the village, but someday he will return in a coach of glass, a rich and famous man." Rich and famous. Franz List? Well, listen and let us see. Adam List was the keeper of Prince Esterhazy's estates in that particular part of Hungary, and was a very musical person. Franz wasn't very old before he was taught to play the piano. From the very first, he was a phenomenal player. No matter how difficult the work, Franz managed it easily. But he was a very sickly child, and many times before he reached the age of 10, his life hung by a thread. Once, while in a high fever, he called to his mother. "Mama," he said, pointing to a picture over his bed, "I want to be one like him." His mother said, "But Franz, that is the great composer Beethoven. Do you want to be a musician?" "Oh, yes, mother," the little boy replied, "more than anything." It wasn't long before Franz had far outstripped his father as a pianist. He couldn't be bothered with actually learning the piano. He actually made up exercises for himself, and he could imitate anyone's playing. If someone once played a new work within Franz's hearing, the little boy never forgot it. Soon he gave his first public performance. Any other boy, only 9 years old, would have been scared to death of the big audience and of the full orchestra, but not Franz. He marched out onto the stage with immense self-assurance, sat down, and played. It almost goes without saying that he was an enormous success, and Franz loved it. By this time, Adam List knew he had a genuine prodigy on his hands. But what to do about it? Riding had no piano teachers, why, it didn't even have a school. And Adam had no money to spend on the boy's education. Then he had an idea. He would arrange for the boy to play for Prince Esterhazy. Maybe some of the nobles in the Esterhazy court could be persuaded to help. No sooner said than done. After all, Adam was well liked by the prince, who remembered that Papa Haydn himself had often praised his violin playing. It took a little doing, but soon Adam and Franz were on their way to Eisenstadt, the Esterházy estate. And again, Franz was a big success. The prince sponsored another concert in the larger city of Pressburg. Concert a success? Well, just listen to what a local critic wrote. Last Sunday, November 26th, the 9-year-old Franz Liszt displayed his abilities on the piano before a large assembly of nobility and music lovers. The unusual skill of this artist, as well as his quick eye in sight reading the most difficult pieces of music, won general acclaim and justified great expectations. As a result of this concert, six noblemen sponsored Franz. They would pay for his piano lessons in the magic city of Vienna. Adam took Franz to one of the greatest teachers in Europe, Karl Czerny, himself a pupil of Beethoven. At first, Czerny wasn't interested in the sickly-looking blue-eyed child. But after he heard him play the Beethoven A-flat piano sonata, he readily consented. Czerny soon refused payment for his lessons. He loved Franz so much. But Czerny was a hard taskmaster, and it was study, study, and more study for Franz. Soon he gave his first concert in Vienna and amazed the critics, one of whom wrote in wonder, "God is with us." Adam and Franz were off to Paris, where Franz was to enter the great Paris Conservatory. How bitterly they were disappointed when he was rejected because he was not French. But a few concerts were soon to convince the public that Franz was a pianist of great talent. Then off to London with more concerts and more success. At the age of 14, Franz tried his hand at composition, a set of concert etudes, and nothing less than an opera, Don Sancho, which was a big success at the Paris Opera. Then suddenly, Adam Liszt fell ill. Franz was at his bedside constantly, but no doctors could help. And so it was that at hardly 16 years of age, Franz Liszt was left to fend for himself. Being of a deeply religious nature, Franz contemplated entering the priesthood, but finally decided that he could best serve God as a musician. His days were spent in teaching, his nights in giving concerts. Once he was called upon to teach Caroline Saint-Cricq, the young daughter of a count. Franz and Caroline were soon deeply in love, but the count rudely dismissed the young man. Franz was never to forget his first love. other troubles plagued Liszt too. No longer was he considered the prodigy that he once was. The fickle public had new pianists to listen to and turn their back on the young man. But it was the romantic era of music, and Franz was constantly learning from his fellow musician. He was a firm friend of Berlioz, and it was this great composer's Symphonie Fantastique that inspired him to write some of his greatest music. In those days, pianists were always called upon to transcribe orchestral works of other composers. Liszt was the greatest transcriber of them all. For instance, here is the prayer from Berlioz's Benvenuto Cellini. When Liszt first heard the diabolical Paganini play his fantastically difficult violin caprices, he was transported with admiration of the great Italian and began transcribing some of them for piano. One of these, La Campanella, The Bells, is one of the most difficult piano pieces ever written. By this time, Liszt was again considered a great pianist. In fact, he was considered one of the greatest in Paris. Such famous artists as George Sand, Frédéric Chopin, and others flocked to hear him. Among the noble ladies who heard him play was the Countess Marie d'Agoult. And in no time at all, Liszt, who was always a ladies' man, and the Countess were deeply in love and ran away to Switzerland together. There they spent an ideal existence. It was for Marie that Liszt wrote his well-known Liebestraum, Love's Dream. Superb virtuoso responded. He had a serious rival whose name was Thalberg, and nothing would do but that the two must meet in a musical contest to decide who should rule Paris. It was no contest. Thalberg, a wonderful pianist, simply could not match Liszt either as a pianist or as a composer. Thank you. Liszt was one of the first great composers of Hungarian music, such as his Hungarian Fantasy for piano and orchestra, and the well-loved Hungarian Rhapsodies, both for piano and for orchestra, of which the second is the best known. Franz was always a very generous man. He heard of the plight of the Hungarian peasants after a terrible flood. Off he rushed to Vienna to give benefit concerts. There he was treated as an emperor, the emperor of piano. He played everywhere, and everywhere audiences acknowledged him as the greatest pianist the world had ever seen. It must have been to hear a Liszt concert. He had three pianos on stage because often one or even two would break down under his tremendous touch. On stage would come Liszt, dressed in a tight-fitting black suit which accented his pale, sharply chiseled features. When he sat down to play, the audience was breathless with anticipation. Always helping fellow musicians. One day, a young, poorly dressed fellow was shown into the great man's study. I am a great admirer of yours, he managed to stammer. It wasn't until the man had gone that Liszt, who hadn't been very much impressed, asked his secretary, what was that man's name? Wagner. Richard Wagner. Wagner and Liszt were soon to be fast friends, and Wagner was greatly influenced by him. Once, years later, Wagner turned to Liszt before playing one of his new operas and said, now, Papa, you will hear something I stole from you. To which Liszt replied, I wish all my music was equally sure of immortality. Thank you. Concert followed concert. People applauded Liszt, the virtuoso, to the sky. But Franz was tired of it. He wanted to compose, and he wanted to conduct, not always to play the piano. So he accepted the post of conductor at the court of Weimar in Germany. Weimar was a sleepy little town which had known many artists, such as Goethe and Schiller. Now it was basking in past greatness. But Liszt woke up the town burghers with a bang. He performed the revolutionary compositions of Wagner, Berlioz, and from his own pen, such masterpieces as Les Préludes. Very hard on his Faust symphony, with the three principal sections being portraits in sound of Faust, Marguerite, and the Devil. Struggle against people who didn't like his so-called modern music, finally he was acclaimed as the Orpheus of Weimar. It was in Weimar that he wrote his two piano concerti. Believe it or not, the first concerto received bad reviews because Liszt had dared include a triangle in the orchestra. Criticism such as this that prompted Liszt finally to leave Weimar and settle in Italy. There, at Santa Francesca Romana, Franz Liszt, still a deeply religious man, took minor holy orders and became the Abbe Liszt. His long white hair and the black cassock could be seen daily in the Eternal City. It was during a stay in Italy that a visit to a fine set of paintings depicting death had prompted the composer to write his Totentanz, Dance of Death. Constantly being asked to play, to receive a doctorate or an award of some kind. In his old age, he returned to Budapest, the capital of Hungary, and from there went back to his old hometown of Reichen. Not exactly in a coach of glass, as the gypsy had foretold, but certainly rich and famous. He was old and tired. But what a life he had led. What a fabulous life. His pupils included D'Albert, Albéniz, Weingärtner, Sauer, Rosenthal. To be able to say that you were a Liszt pupil was alone enough to guarantee you success. It had been a good life. He made a final triumphant concert tour of Europe and England and returned to Wagner's home at Bayreuth for the opera season. Cosima, Wagner's wife, who was Liszt's daughter, could see that the old man was not well. He attended a performance of Wagner's Tristan und Isolde and had to be carried home. There, on July 31st, 1886, Franz Liszt died. His last word, Tristan. One of the most influential composers of all time was dead, but his music will be heard so long as there are pianists and orchestras.